We're going to wrap up the program today with a few minutes with our lovingly referred to as Dr. Doom, Kevin Farmer. How you doing, Kevin, today?
Hi, Darren.
So, still taking with a good humor that I call you Dr. Doom, but you're living up to your title again today. What was on your mind?
Well, I'm interested in a story that was on our Delicious feed, whereby one of the world's leading ice experts is predicting that the Arctic summer ice will disappear completely within 4 years, like a complete collapse of the Arctic summer ice, which even a few years ago was considered to still be decades in the future, and he's predicting that it's now only 4 years away. And yes, I'm earning my Dr. Doom title, and I'm still beating the climate change drum. this is a catastrophe. If he's correct, and the real point is that we know it's going to collapse anyway, whether he's off by a year or two or not. The point is that the ice in the Arctic is vanishing. And this is a catastrophe on several levels. One, it represents a massive feedback mechanism into climate change due to something called the albedo effect. The ice at the poles is bright. It's a very bright white, and it tends to reflect light. And the less ice there is, the less sunlight that it reflects back into space. So, and the more the water's warm. So what you've got is the ice at the poles represent a cooling effect on the planet by reflecting this sunlight, and the loss of it leads to warmer waters, which leads to less ice, which leads to less reflection, which leads to warmer water, and it's a feedback mechanism that we're triggering, which just accelerates climate change. Plus, yeah. I mean, there's the I'm gonna skip over just the ecological disaster that losing ice represents, and just talk about an ecosystem point of view, and just talk about it from a climate change point of view. It also releases a what I consider a more sinister feedback loop, in that it opens vast tracts of land up to resource exploration, and we know there's quite a bit of natural gas and oil that's been up in the Arctic that's been inaccessible up until now, and we're going to see with the loss of the ice and the impending complete loss of ice eventually, we're going to see humans with access to even greater stores of carbon dioxide to release into the atmosphere, causing again yet more climate change. But what jumps out at me in this article is that the professor who's predicted the loss of the ice within 4 years is saying essentially, and I agree with him, he's saying that, look, this is no longer the future. The future is here, and it's we don't even have time now to consider mitigation strategies. What we have to do is engage in geoengineering, because we can't afford to slow climate change now, so we can't afford to slowly ratchet down carbon dioxide emissions until the Earth is back in balance. But we need to stop it immediately, and since we can't stop it immediately, we have to engage in these geoengineering projects. And this has been a fear in the climate change community, in the environmentalist community, for a long time, is that we would leave things to the point where that we would engage in these geoengineering. And anyone who doesn't know anything, I encourage them to Google geoengineering and climate change and just start reading some of the ideas that are being proposed. Some ideas have we've considered we are seriously, some people are seriously considering putting giant mirrors in space to reflect sunlight. Yeah, to reflect sunlight, which to cool the planet by simply reflecting sunlight. Other people are coming up with schemes to make clouds whiter so that they reflect more sunlight. One that really unnerves me is seeding the atmosphere with particulate matter.
In some cases, metal or iron flakes and stuff like that, and it's some really nasty stuff. I think an indication of just sort of how desperate and dire the situation is if it is probably the best way to kind of encourage people if they're not still on the climate change is a hoax bandwagon, which is thankfully very much sinking quickly. As far as people that I speak to, I don't meet very many people anymore who doubt that. But if you're not sort of scared into action once you've been convinced that climate change is a fact, then you should be convinced very quickly that this is something that needs immediate action simply by looking up to some of the geoengineering ideas that they have to deal with this process. And you'll find, as you're describing there, that many of them are quite wacky sounding, and that should tell you just how much trouble we're in, that these options are actually being seriously considered.
Well, yes, exactly. And the point is that we have a very bad track record at managing the environment and managing ecosystems. You know, somebody decided it would be a good idea to have 6 pairs of rabbits on his farm in Australia so he could hunt them. And rabbits now cause $50 million a year of damage in Australia. You know, Australia has released invasive species after invasive species trying to restore it, some sort of ecological balance, and everything they've done has just made it worse. Like, we just have a bad track record of managing ecosystems. We've got a great track record of exploiting them. And what we're talking about with geoengineering is trying to manage ecosystems and the environment and the climate on a massive scale, like on a global scale. And we don't have any reason to suppose we're going to be successful, or that the unexpected consequences won't be a complete and utter disaster. And yet, I agree with this professor that we're reaching the point where, you know, faced with the possibility of runaway climate change, we really are in a situation where we have to consider extraordinary measures. But it just fills me with, you know, here's the Dr. Doom coming again. It just fills me with dread to think that we're going to seriously start engaging with, you know, environmental manipulation on a global scale.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's all the time we have with today. So in an effort to have an up note right at the end of the show, that's a great reason to stay tuned in a few weeks for our fundraiser and help support the Green Majority and what we're doing. So stay tuned to our program and our website for information about that, so you can help support and help spread information that might get this stuff out there. Maybe if I have a minute, we'll go ahead and post some of those wacky geoengineering ideas on our website that are actually being seriously considered, just so people can have an opportunity to take a look at the types of things that you're talking about there. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kevin Farmer.
Thanks, Darren.